Maybe we can. But in the meantime, we've got to talk to Nero. Come on, here's the administrative building. The Baudelaire sighed and walked into the building, surrendering the use of Prufrock Prep's silverware. They climbed the stairs to the 9th floor and knocked on Nero's door, surprised they could not hear him practicing the violin.
"Come in if you must,"
Nero said, and the orphans walked in. Nero had his back to his door, looking at his reflection in the window as he tied a rubber band around one of his pigtails. When he was finished, he held both hands up in the air.
"Ladies and gentlemen, Vice Principal Nero!"
he announced, and the children began applauding obediently. Nero whirled around.
"I only expected to hear one person clapping," he said sternly. "Violet and Klaus, you're not allowed up here. You know that."
"I beg your pardon, sir," Violet said, "but all three of us have something very important we need to discuss with you."
"All three of us have something very important we need to discuss with you,"
Nero replied in his usual nasty way.
"It must be important for you to sacrifice your silverware privileges. Well, well, out with it. I have a lot of rehearsing to do for my next concert, so don't waste my time."
"This won't take long," Klaus promised. He paused before continuing, which is a good thing to do if you're choosing your words very, very carefully. "We are concerned," he continued, choosing his words very, very carefully, "that Count Olaf may have somehow managed to get to Prufrock Prep."
"Nonsense," Nero said. "Now go away and let me practice the violin."
"But it might not be nonsense," Violet said. "Olaf is a master of disguise. He could be right under our very noses and we wouldn't know it."
"The only thing under my nose," Nero said, "is my mouth, which is telling you to leave."
"Count Olaf could be Mr. Remora," Klaus said, "or Mrs. Bass."
"Mr. Remora and Mrs. Bass have taught at this school for more than 47 years, Nero said dismissively. "I would know if one of them were in disguise."
"What about the people who work at the cafeteria?" Violet asked. "They're always wearing those metal masks."
"Those are for safety, not for disguises," Nero said. "You brats have some very silly ideas. Next you'll be seeing that Count Olaf has disguised himself as your boyfriend. What's his name, the triplet?"
Violet blushed. "Duncan Quagmire is not my boyfriend," she said. "And he's not Count Olaf, either." But Nero was too busy making idiotic jokes to listen.
"Who knows?" he asked, and then laughed again. "He, he, he. Maybe he's disguised himself as Carmelita Spatz."
"Or me,"
came a voice from the doorway. The Baudelaires whirled around and saw Coach Genghis standing there with a red rose in his hand and a fierce look in his eye.
"Or you,"
Nero said. "He, he, he.
Imagine this Olaf fellow pretending to be the finest gym teacher in the country."
Klaus looked at Coach Genghis and thought of all the trouble he had caused, whether he was pretending to be Uncle Monty's assistant Stefano, or Captain Sham, or Shirley, or any of the other phony names he had used. Klaus wanted desperately to say, "You are Count Olaf," but he knew that if the Baudelaires pretended that Coach Genghis was fooling them, they had a better chance of revealing his plan, whatever it was. So he bit his tongue, a phrase which here means that he simply kept quiet. He did not actually bite his tongue, but opened his mouth and laughed.
"That would be funny," he lied. "Imagine if you really were Count Olaf. Wouldn't that be funny, Coach Genghis? That would mean your turban would really be a disguise."
"My turban?"
Coach Genghis said. His fierce look melted away as he realized, incorrectly, of course, that Klaus was joking.
"A disguise? Ho, ho, ho! He, he, he!"
Nero laughed.